studying David's life, and, you know, I was just thinking about him and thinking that, you know, we all need heroes. We need someone to look to, someone who shows courage, who shows strength, strength of character, someone that we can look at and admire, and because we admire their character strengths, we admire who they are, and we want to be like that. We want to emulate those things that we see in this person. And David is a hero to me, and I'm sure he is to you also. I love the fact that even as a youth, as a young man, he was strong and courageous. I think probably for all of us as women, we like some strong men, you know? And David, in his youth, was a very strong man. And he was, he seemed fearless. And he was strong in his God. And he could, even as a youth, he had the faith and the strength and the courage to stand against a giant and to just pick up a little stone and put it in a sling and knock that giant dead. David was not, he didn't have any selfish ambition, but he was zealous for his God. And I like David too because he was not afraid to show emotion, which most men don't like to show emotion. But boy, you study David's life and then you read the Psalms and poof, his heart comes out and he has low lows and he has high highs and he's not afraid to say and to spill his heart out to the Lord and in front of other people, and even as we'll see in weeks to come, to dance before the Lord. And I like that. He was a man of integrity. He walked uprightly. He did what was right. And he was loyal. He was committed to God, but he was loyal to other people. And he served them well. And he didn't have all the answers, and he didn't think he had all the answers. He relied on the Lord, and he sought the Lord for direction. The list goes on and on and on with his godly characteristics, which is why he is my hero. But there's another reason that he is my hero, and that is because though he is a man, was a man after God's own heart, he wasn't perfect. And I like that. Because if we just look at all of that and not know the other, that's a great hero, but I can't attain to that at all. I can't even come close. But David wasn't a perfect man. David failed. And David got angry. And David lost perspective more than one time. And David feared more than one time. And he made mistakes and he sinned, just like you and I do. But David always repented. Always turned around with a repentant heart, received the chastening of the Lord, and then moved on in his walk with the Lord. And he's a great man, and he's inspiring, and I love to study his life. And I am learning so much about him, and I want even more of these things that we've been learning, these lessons, to be driven deep in my heart. Now, at this point in our study of David, he is still running for his life. Saul is still hunting him, wanting to kill him. David has been hiding in caves. He's been hiding in the wilderness. He has 600 men that are following him, mighty warriors. And as we saw in our last lesson, he had the opportunity to end his trial, to kill Saul and be done with it. But he would rather have God put an end to his trial. And he allowed the Lord, he spared Saul and allowed the Lord to continue to work and to have his perfect way. Tonight, we're going to see that David, right after that, completely loses perspective once again. And he lets his temper get the best of him. And he is then on his way to repay evil with evil. Yet, God intervenes, and he very graciously and humbly receives the advice of a woman, and he is kept from avenging himself. So, let's pick it up in 1 Samuel 25, beginning in verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. And I certainly would like that said about me, and I'm sure you would about you too. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, 'Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So David's young men came. They spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. So David and his men, when they were out in the wilderness somewhere, protected Nabal's servants, those who were tending his sheep, those who work for him, who serve him. And David and his men, they were a wall around these men. They protected them from any kind of harm whatsoever. So David assumed that since he and his men were kind to Nabal's men, that Nabal, who had plenty to share because he was very rich, that he would be kind to him and provide something to eat for him and his men. David came to Nabal with meekness, in humility. He didn't demand anything. He didn't come in and forcefully say, "Look, you owe us this," or whatever. But he humbled himself and came meek with a meek attitude. And Nabal responded very, very harshly. He knew who David was. So when he said, "Who is David?" he knew who he was. This man had a bad attitude, a bad disposition, and had a reputation of being that way. And you know, there are people in this life who are just like that. They just have crummy attitudes all the time. And they're determined to dislike other people, and they're determined to disrespect other people and make life miserable for them. Well, by his harsh response, David is greatly offended. And he reacts in his anger. And it's interesting because here David, it almost seems to me that because of this trial that he is in, constantly on the run, you know, you're never settled. You're always waiting for Saul to come and attack and that kind of a thing. All of that churns around in him. And then this one man says this thing and it just, phew, it just spills out. So immediately David is offended. He gets upset and he wants to go and kill not only Nabal, but all the men that are serving him. I mean, just his whole possessions and everything, just to destroy. And, you know, sometimes that happens to us where we are in a trial and it's very hard and it's wearing on us. And then some person, they could be an innocent person or they could be a Nabal who's just trying to bug you, but everything spills out on them. And I'm sure that's happened to you. Well, Proverbs 26:4 says to us, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." And David was answering a fool according to his folly, and he became at that moment just like Nabal, because he would rather teach that guy a lesson than do what is right or to turn the other cheek at the moment. And the bigger problem was it wasn't just going to lash out at Nabal. He was going to lash out at all the other men in Nabal's household. Verse 14, "Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when they were with us in the field. They were a wall to us both night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him.' Then Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves of bread," she just happened to have those lying around the house, "2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs." They were very rich. If this was their normal, you know, food menu thing for the day, "Loaded them on the donkeys, and she said to her servants, 'Go on before me. See, I am coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under the cover of the hill. And there was David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light.'" So we meet Abigail here, who used discretion, who used wisdom in handling this situation. This could be a catastrophe. It could be so devastating to so many people. She knew her husband, and she knew his harshness. And she probably knew that eventually he was going to get what he deserved. But she stepped in to protect him, to protect her household. Verse 23, "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, 'On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who speak harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord is done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. So Abigail, very meekly, very humbly, and very respectfully, talks to David. She took the blame for her husband. Wasn't her fault at all. That didn't matter to her. She just took the blame. She's trying to protect her husband and her household. She had accepted her husband for who he was. And I have always liked this. Every time I read through the Bible and I'm in this passage, I just sit and I meditate on that. What a remarkable woman. Her husband is a fool. His name means fool. He is a fool. We would probably say jerk today. And she has accepted him for who he is. And I think this is a great lesson, which we're not even going to talk about tonight, but I do want to plant it in your minds so the Lord can talk to you about it at some other time. But, you know, she didn't try to change him, because we all know that we can't change anybody, let alone our husband. And she didn't try to, fight against it all the time or nag to death. It seems she just let him be who he was, and she was who she was. And we can see she's an upright woman. She's a very wise woman and knows the Lord in his word and his promises. You don't detect any kind of bitterness in her words or in her manner. No resentment at all is revealed. It's just kind of a matter of a fact thing. This is who I am married to. This is who he is. And I'm going to make the best of it. So whether it's a husband of ours or somebody else in our life, it's really a good lesson. To just, you know, you can't change. You can't change. All you can change is your own attitude and your own heart and how you see that person, and to allow the Lord to work in your life so you see that person through God's eyes. So she simply asked David, just don't pay any attention to Nabal and his folly. It isn't worth it, because he's the kind of guy that if you say it's green, he says it's blue. Or if you say it's hot, he says it's cold. Or he asks for scrambled eggs, and you give him scrambled eggs, and then he tells you he asked for fried eggs. And there are people like that in this world that are very difficult to get along with. You cannot win, and it's no use arguing. And she said, you know, it's not worth it. Just ignore him. And she's in the way that she says this, she is just starting to bring a little perspective to David's life right now, because his anger had gotten a hold of him, and all he wanted to do is kill this guy. But she just sheds a little light on the situation. She also let David know that it was the Lord who's intervening here. It's the Lord who sent her to restrain him from doing harm. And she brings the Lord into the picture in verses 26, 27, 28. In his anger, David had forgotten. And we do the same thing. Very quick, we can forget. We can even forget we're a Christian at that moment. All we are, that's in our mind, is that we're upset or angry or whatever it might be. She acknowledged the call of God on David's life and the promises, which indicates that it was very well known at that time, because this has been a number of years here of him running, that everybody knows that this is the next king of Israel. Everybody knows that David is upright. I mean, there are those with Saul that hate him, but for the most part, everybody knows. And she is just acknowledging that call of God on his life, encouraging him in it, reminding him, bringing perspective. He couldn't see, he's blinded by his anger. And she's just speaking these words softly and very graciously, respectfully to him, reminding him of those, the call, the promises. And she is a beautiful example of a word spoken in due season. Just, we can just glean so much from her life. And just reading over and over and over that maybe that's natural for some of us, that we're naturally very diplomatic people, and we, you know, the glass is always not just half full, it's running over all the time. And, you know, I'm not that kind of person. I've had a lot, and I'm still learning. I'm nowhere near her. And I want to be. Why I love this lesson. Verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." Now here's another incredible lesson for us. And his response is really astounding. I mean, you think about this. This is a man who was so offended that he was ready to kill. And Abigail comes, speaks these words to him, and he receives them. Now, in general, and I'm certainly not talking about your husband or any man that you know or that I know, but in general, all of those other men in the world, they really don't like to be corrected or to receive advice, especially when they're wrong. And they really don't like to receive that from a woman. You probably all know that, right? Okay. They may not know that. We have it. We know. So here's David. He is a mighty warrior. He's tough. I mean, he is a tough guy, a strong man. He's a leader. He's got all these other men watching him. He's got to be tough in front of them. He's a future king of Israel. And he stopped and he listened to this woman. And then he heeded her advice. That is humility. It's amazing to me. The humbleness and the teachable heart that this man had. First of all, David acknowledged the Lord. She did her job and she did it well. She brought the perspective that was needed to him in very wise and a very gracious way. And the first thing he recognized, it's the Lord. He didn't see this woman. He's seeing it as the Lord. So he acknowledges the Lord. It was the Lord who sent Abigail. It was the Lord who's speaking to me through this woman. And that is a sign of maturity in another believer when they are in David's place. And this is just such a good lesson for us, that in receiving advice, receiving counsel, receiving correction from other people. Now, David could have been very offended by Abigail. He was just offended by Nabal. And he could have thought, well, who does she think she is? She has no idea what I have been through. I have been on the run. I have been hiding in caves. We are hungry. All we're asking for is a little food here. And I have a right to react this way. Or I can make my own decisions, and I don't need other people, especially a woman, to tell me what to do. I don't know if any of those kind of words or attitudes ever been a part of your life or your thinking when someone's trying to give you advice or correct you. Could have been your mother or a husband or somebody else. But he was humble, and we need to humble ourselves. We need to keep a teachable heart. Teachable heart is a godly quality, and it is an attractive quality in a person and in a Christian. To be teachable, to be humble, to be able to receive from other people. Proverbs has a lot to say about it, but Proverbs 4:13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. To remember that the next time you've been given instructions, even if you already know. That's the thing, is when we think we've already know and then somebody's going to try to tell us. Now, receive it. Receive it. I like this one, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. It says that. I really like that, because I need that said to me from the Lord, not from you, but from the Lord. You know, if you don't receive correction or instruction, you are stupid. You're just stupid. You're just stupid, that's all. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I mean, here David playing the fool, being like Nabal, yet he heeded the counsel. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And we need to keep ourselves and our hearts in that teachable place, in a humble place, a humility, a desire to be like the Lord. And then in that place where we truly respect others. And we respect what they have to say. And we respect the wisdom that God has given them. And we acknowledge that, you know, we don't have all the answers. Even if we're older or we've been through it a million times or whatever it might be. But to respect another person's advice to us. I don't know if you are the type of person that it's difficult for you to receive. There are people in life that it's just really hard for them to receive any kind of instruction or correction. And we might say, well, no, I receive instruction. Look, I'm sitting here in a Bible study being taught. I'm receiving instruction. But what about in all those other areas in our lives, those areas where we think maybe we know what we're doing or that we feel like we're strong in? What about just as a mother? Receiving advice as a mother. that's not easy for some mothers because they think they've got it down and they know what they're, they know they're not perfect, but, you know, for somebody to come in and say, could I offer a little advice or, you know, did you think about trying this or that? Well, you know, we can get offended. Then I'm not teachable. I'm not receiving that instruction. Or even in the area of being a wife. Maybe we think we're a wonderful wife. You know, I don't need anyone to tell me. Or little areas in sewing, cooking, cleaning, gardening, crafting, all of those things where maybe somebody came alongside or, and, you know, had a different way to show you or that kind of, what is my reaction? You know, and let the Lord talk to you about this. He's been talking to me about that. How do you respond, Karen? Are you stupid because you're not receiving the correction? Or are you loving that instruction and that godly advice from another person? We do need to humbly receive the wisdom, the advice, and then take it to the Lord. You know, not argue about it, not say, well, yeah, I know. But take it to the Lord because it just might be, even if you've been successful in doing the same thing, whatever that might be, for years and years and years, and some other person gives you a little bit of advice, it could be that the Lord wants to do a new thing. He wants to teach you something new. Once again, David knew that immediately that what Abigail was saying was from the Lord. It bore witness with his spirit. And if we're sensitive to the Lord, we're gonna hear that. We're going to know that. This person loves me. This person is speaking from the Lord. And David, again, he let go of his pride and was humble and teachable. And then there's the lesson from Abigail's life about bringing perspective to someone or giving advice to someone. Abigail did not go to David with the attitude in her heart or the words out of her mouth saying, are you crazy? What's the matter with you putting your sword on to kill Nabal? Come on. You're the next king of Israel. Don't be acting like that. Or boy, is he stupid. He's going to ruin it for everyone. Now that kind of an attitude, going to a person with that kind of an attitude. Now, of course, we have never gone to another person with that kind of an attitude at all. But the other people that have, it bears no fruit. How can another person receive that when there's that kind of an attitude? But she didn't have it. She was gracious and respectful of him. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That is the attitude of our heart that we need to have all the time. Whether we are correcting someone, be it our children or another relationship that we have, or if we are just bringing simple instruction to someone, our children or anyone else, or we're just shedding some light on it, we're just bringing a different perspective, we're giving advice, whatever it might be, we need to be spiritual people. You who are spiritual. You who are spiritual. So a spiritual person, I mean, that's a big subject, but a spiritual person is a humble person. It's not a haughty person. It's not a person who thinks they've got it all down and I'm here to correct you of your wrongs and kind of, it's not a harsh person at all. A spiritual person is a loving person. It's a kind person, is a gentle person, is a compassionate person. It's a person like Jesus. And that means in word, it means in body language, because you know we are really good at communicating through our facial expressions and the way we hold ourselves, because we can be saying all the right things and our body language is saying something completely different, or the tone. But we need to be spiritual. It tells us we need to be gentle. We need to go in gentleness. And Abigail, she did. Proverbs 25:15, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue gets through. 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. David had this wrath. She came with a very soft answer to him. And look what the results were. And it also tells us that we need to consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. That's a biggie. We need to consider ourselves when that means realize that we could react the same way as this other person. We could make the decisions that this other person is making, given the right circumstances. And I heard this when I was a brand new Christian, and I'm very thankful that I did, because the Lord has continued to remind me and try to work it into my life. And that is, but for the grace of God, there go I. To keep that heart attitude in every situation, it keeps us from judging. It keeps us from looking down. And Abigail didn't look down on David. And if we are up against something right now where somebody is attacking us, or we see someone making a wrong decision, or, you know, anything like that, we have to look at that and say, you know what? I could be doing the same thing given the right circumstances. Any of us can fall. Any of us can be stupid. Any of us can make bad decisions. But for the grace of God, there go I. And so if I cannot say what I need to say with gentleness and with a spirit of meekness, then I shouldn't say anything. And I know this is a big subject, and those are just little things that maybe the Lord can speak to us later on. But as long as my heart and my motive and my words and my body language and all that, the whole thing is right before the Lord, then whether the person receives it or not, it's not my responsibility. Now, in this case, of course, David humbly received this advice. But there are plenty of times where we kind of step in and it's not received. And that could be from a child or anybody else. But it's not my responsibility what they do with that advice, what they do with that godly counsel. I need to just represent the Lord and then trust the results to Him. And if that person has to bear the consequence, they have to bear the consequence. So many great lessons, two major lessons in giving that perspective or that advice and then receiving so much depth in both of them. And I hope that if you did go over your homework, you have been talking to the Lord. He's been talking to you about it. And if you did not, that He would, and you would talk more with Him about it. Just to summarize how this all ended, Abigail went back home, said nothing to her husband because he was holding a feast and he was very drunk, and she knew it would be absolutely pointless to talk to a drunk person. More wisdom from her. She waited. The next day, she told Nabal all that had happened, that David and his 600 men, 400 with him, were coming to kill him, and how she went and made peace. And it says in verse 37 that his heart died within him and he became like stone. And then 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. And the way of the transgressor is hard. When David heard about Nabal's death, verse 39, he said, David said, "Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. He's kept his servant from evil, for the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." David then proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife, which was honorable for him to do, although he was already married, and that's a whole other story about his many wives and concubines. But look at Abigail's response in verse 41. She arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." This is just an absolutely beautiful woman, godly woman, to come to be humble, to bow down before David and say, "I accept your proposal." He's going to be the next king of Israel. "I accept your proposal to be a servant to your servants." I mean, just amazing. Let's pray. Father, we read about Abigail. Thank you that you have put her in your word for us to learn from. And Lord, I pray for myself, for each one of my sisters, that these truths and these godly characteristics of her life, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would teach us and help us, Father, to be like her, to be a woman who opens her mouth with wisdom and on our tongue is the law of kindness. Help us to be respectful women to other people. Help us to speak gracious words, soft words. Help us to go in humility and meekness. And then, Lord, help us to be as David in receiving whatever you want to speak into our lives from another person. Lord, if someone comes with a rebuke or correction or just instruction or perspective, Lord, help us to stop, to remember this lesson, to listen. And listen to you, listen to your Holy Spirit speaking to us, to receive, to grow. Lord, work these things, please, into our lives so that we become more of a woman after your own heart. I pray, Father, that you would bless my sisters as they go into their groups tonight. Bless their discussion on these things, Lord. Speak to them and use them to encourage one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.